I invite you to rise as you're able for the gospel acclamation. Gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of the fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he will glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the good news. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this moment. Glorify yourself in the words that would be spoken now. Bless our time together for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so thankful for today. Truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will truly rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad, truly, when I was told that I will come over to Christ the King, Lutheran Church, to come and worship with you, and not just worship, but to share a story about the Lutheran Church of Christ in Nigeria for a possible partnership that would come out of this moment that we would have together. Not only am I thankful that I'm here at Christ the King Lutheran Church to worship with you, but I'm also thankful that I'm here with a colleague and a friend and a brother, Per Halas. I'll tell you, truly all he said is true, but I would add a little bit to that. I was telling his spouse, I said, I'm not sure what we would do here, but maybe we'd have a little bit of a history class for you all to just have some time of history. I was with Per in history class, and I don't know if he remembers very well, but one of the things I was so passionate about when I heard about the history and the Reformation and the many things that happened, and I'm like, what is going on? I wish we can have more Reformation, more transformation, and more newer things happening. And one of the new things I thought about in my head during the history class was, how might we have missionaries come over from the global south to help the global north? And I paused at that moment and I was like, well, maybe that's a dumb thing to do. But I'm so thankful that I can be here, and I'm glad for this opportunity. Thank you for your love to have thought of me to invite me to come here. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to you even as we have this time together. We've read this wonderful gospel text. I love this gospel text so much. Interestingly, when I came over in 2019 as a student to Luther Seminary, the first text I listened to a sermon from in a Lutheran church was from this text. And when I listened to the sermon, something unique caught my attention from the sermon. And the question was around, what did Jesus actually ask Peter to do? Many a times as believers in Christ Jesus, and particularly as pastors, and as maybe Lutherans in the ELCA, in the Twin Cities, aging congregation, we have the temptation of actually doing the opposite of what Jesus had asked Peter to do. We have a temptation to, instead of feeding the sheep, we count the sheep. We count the sheep. 3 times did Jesus ask Peter almost the same question in different forms. Thrice. Do you love me? And of course, this is just shortly after Jesus had been crucified, and on that cross, on the day when Peter saw the scary situation that Jesus was in, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He was afraid. 3 times he was scared to identify with the Jesus that he is saying he loves now. 3 times. And of course, shortly after the resurrection, what do we see? We see a Jesus that appears to the disciples locked up in the room in fear. They were wondering, might we also be crucified? Might we also lose our lives? And probably when they were in there, you know, a lot of times it takes me back to the time of COVID, you know, when we were locked down. And they sat in there. They probably were not able to pray. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you cannot even pray? You cannot even say, Lord, search my heart and see. You cannot even say, Lord, just look at me, the pain that I carry. Because we are afraid, anxiety. They were afraid. And perhaps one of the things that strikes me about their moment was the fact that they were afraid in guilt. You know, they were guilty. Particularly Peter. He was so guilty. You know, fear is a different pressure on a human being. Added to fear, guilt, oh my, that's confusing. They were afraid and guilty. When Jesus showed up, peace to you. My peace I bring to you, not as the world brings it, but as I have come to bring it. God's peace came to them. The shalom peace appeared to them. And once they had the shalom peace, what happened was they came back alive again. And they were able to go to do what they were used to doing. They went back to fishing. They went back to fishing. And they were in the river trying to fish. They were trying to get back to their livelihood. Something to keep them going again. After the trauma of having seen Jesus die and resurrect, now they are at a point where they're like, okay, freedom, grace has come. Grace we have received. And grace would keep us going. Let's go. Let's go back to normal. They went back to normal. On their being back to normal, what we see is that they were able to go there, but perhaps they had forgotten the way they used to fish. They had forgotten the way they were able to strategize and get the fish quickly. I've gone to fish here in Minnesota. Don't ask me how many fish I caught. I tried. I was in the boat with the hook, waiting. Oh, pops! I tried again. I got one. And that was it. Just one. They probably forgot how to fish again. They probably cannot remember how to just cast the net and get fish. Remember, that was what they were doing all their life. And for something that is a routine in your life, you must have mastered it. And so it must have become a part and parcel of them. And so they knew how to do it. And all of a sudden, they don't know how to do it again. And so while in the river, trying to get the fish and not getting anything, Jesus Christ appeared. And when Jesus appeared, they had given up. They were already tired. He said, cast the net back there again. Cast it. Lo and behold, they obeyed. Threw the net right in there. And when I read the word haul, I remember you haul. Hauling the fish was so heavy that it could tear apart the net. And this is not just any net. I'll save you this story because many of you have had the story a lot of times. But what does this mean to you and I and the possible partnership that we're trusting God for to have as a church in the global north that is still praying and thinking and considering what it means for you to have an outreach, not just within Minnesota, not just within America, but in Nigeria? I'll tell you, you are being obedient to God's word. You're being obedient because you love the Lord. And I'll tell you, Stanley standing before you today is a product of the work that many of your grandparents, great-grandparents have done in Nigeria. Once upon a time, in the global south, the people did not have an understanding of the Bible. Missionaries from America, from Europe, from the global north, decided to take the gospel message down to the global south. And lo and behold, that gospel message brought about an awakening. It brought about a revival. It brought about a passion for the Lord. And of course, like we read in the book of Acts, some people's eyes were open. Some scales fell off the eyes of some that were ingrained in some behaviors that was not godly. That gospel message transformed a person like me who was lost, but now is found. Sometimes I tell people, I wish I can tell you that I was born perfect and I'm perfect or I've been perfect. No. I was born in sin, got saved by grace as a result of the message of the gospel, and here I am today, still walking and trusting the grace of God to carry me on. Church, what does this mean for you today? It means for us that if we embark in this partnership that we are trusting God for, we will be feeding the sheep of God. And that is what Jesus had asked Peter to do. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you are willing, let's join hands together. No wonder in Matthew it says, "Go ye into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And he said, "I'll be with you to the very end of the age." Jesus has not left us. He is still here with us, and he will continue to be with us, even as we trust God for this partnership. We will be wasting our time if we're counting the sheep. Feed the sheep. Don't count. And I'll tell you, as a church, you might be going through a certain transformation at this point. You might be going through a certain phase in your life at this point. This too will pass. This too will pass. Only if we continue to feed the sheep and not count the sheep. Amen.